Welcome to episode 286 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of 1 Peter, the 48th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. Simon Peter, also known as Cephas, is the author of the two books that bear his name. He was one of the early followers of Jesus. He remained with Jesus throughout the Lord's ministry on earth. He was an outspoken and ardent disciple, one of Jesus' closest friends, an apostle, and a pillar of the church. Peter was enthusiastic, strong-willed, impulsive, and at times, brash. But for all his strengths, Peter had several failings in his life. Still, the Lord who chose him continued to mold him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. Simon was originally from Bethsaida and lived in Capernaum, both cities on the Sea of Galilee. He was married, and he and James and John were partners in a profitable fishing business. Simon met Jesus through his brother Andrew, who had followed Jesus after hearing John the Baptist proclaim that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Andrew immediately went to find his brother to bring him to Jesus. Upon meeting Simon, Jesus gave him a new name, Cephas, in Aramaic, or Peter in Greek, which means rock. Later, Jesus officially called Peter to follow him, producing a miraculous catch of fish. Immediately, Peter left everything behind to follow the Lord. For the next 3 years, Peter lived as a disciple of Jesus. Being a natural-born leader, this former fisherman became the de facto spokesman for the 12. Peter is featured as one of the most prominent figures in the Gospels. It was Peter who first confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, a truth which Jesus said was divinely revealed to him. Peter was part of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, along with James and John. Only those three were present when Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus, and when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. Peter and John were given the special task of preparing the final Passover meal, and Peter was one of the first disciples to see the empty tomb. Not only was Peter the usual spokesperson for the 12, but he was often seen by the disciples as their leader. When Matthew lists the disciples, he says this: the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter. Peter also took a prominent role in the early church. It was Peter who took the initiative to appoint a disciple to replace Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who explained to the multitudes that they were seeing the promised gift of the Spirit poured out by God upon his people. It was Peter who, when arrested for speaking about the resurrection of the dead, spoke to the high priest and the assembled Jewish leaders. It was Peter who was led to Cornelius, the first Gentile to be accepted as a follower of Jesus. It was Peter whom Paul visited for 15 days when Paul first came to Jerusalem after his conversion. Indeed, describing the circle of Jesus' followers in Jerusalem at that time, Paul identifies three pillars of the church: Peter, James, the brother of Jesus, and John, the beloved disciple. In several instances, Peter showed himself to be impetuous to the point of rashness. For example, it was Peter who left the boat to walk on the water to Jesus, and promptly took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. It was Peter who took Jesus aside to rebuke him for speaking of his death, and was swiftly corrected by the Lord. It was Peter who suggested erecting three tabernacles to honor Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and fell to the ground in fearful silence at God's glory. It was Peter who drew his sword and attacked the servant of the high priest and was immediately told to sheathe his weapon when Jesus was arrested. It was Peter who boasted that he would never forsake the Lord, even if everyone else did, and later denied three times that he even knew the Lord. Through all of Peter's ups and downs, Jesus remained his loving Lord and faithful guide. Jesus reaffirmed Simon as Peter the Rock in Matthew 16, verses 18 to 19, promising that he would be instrumental in establishing the Christian church. After his resurrection, Jesus specifically named Peter as one who needed to hear the good news. And repeating the miracle of the large catch of fish, Jesus made a special point of forgiving and restoring Peter and recommissioning him as an apostle. Given his time with Christ and his time as a church leader, Peter had a wealth of experiences from which, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he could draw in order to write two powerful letters. As such, he's able to write in 2 Peter 1 verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter possessed so much potential, and we see glimpses of this throughout his interactions with Jesus. But it's not until Pentecost that we see his potential released. In his own hands, Peter's potential created opportunities for his pride to be revealed. But in Jesus' hands, his potential created opportunities for God to move mightily through him. Spiritual growth doesn't mean we lose the essence of how God created us to be. Peter still possessed boldness, quick thinking, and influence. Used in his own strength, they became liabilities. But when he finally submitted to God, they became the tools God used to guide him as he helped lead and shape the first century church. Jesus' promise that Peter would be foundational in building the church was fulfilled in three stages. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Then he was present when the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit. Finally, he was summoned to the home of the Roman centurion Cornelius, who also believed and received the Holy Spirit. In this way, Peter unlocked three different worlds and opened the door of the church to Jews, to Samaritans, and to Gentiles. Even as an apostle, Peter experienced some growing pains. At first, he had resisted taking the gospel to Cornelius, a Gentile. However, when he saw the Romans received the Holy Spirit in the same manner he had, Peter concluded that God does not show favoritism. After that, Peter strongly defended the Gentiles' position as believers and was adamant that they did not need to conform to Jewish law. Another episode of growth in Peter's life concerns his visit to Antioch, where he enjoyed the fellowship of Gentile believers. However, when some legalistic Jews arrived in Antioch, Peter, to appease them, withdrew from the Gentile Christians. The Apostle Paul saw this as hypocrisy and called it such to Peter's face. Later in life, Peter spent time with John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark based on Peter's remembrances of his time with Jesus. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter between AD 60 and 68. Jesus said that Peter would die a martyr's death, a prophecy fulfilled presumably during Nero's reign. Tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. And although the story may be true, there is no scriptural or historical witness to the particulars of this apostle's death. In the life of Peter, we see that Jesus uses unlikely heroes. Peter was a fisherman from Galilee, but Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. Because Peter was willing to leave all he had to follow Jesus, God used him in great ways. As Peter preached, people were amazed at his boldness because he was unschooled and ordinary. But then they took note that Peter had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus makes all the difference. Father, thank you for the life and ministry of Peter. Help us to live so that others can see that we too have had life-changing encounters with Jesus. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.